Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, April 15 through 19. Over a five-day period, this convention brought together over 65,000 of our closest friends and featured keynotes and targeted sessions focused on topics to help future-proof your career. This year, the exhibit floor was organized so you could intuitively navigate the floor in sections. They were titled Create, Connect, Capitalize, and Intelligent Content. As the NAB celebrates 100 years of broadcast, media, and entertainment innovation, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and their plans for the year. Big thanks to ENCO and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. Now, over the next several weeks, you'll have the opportunity to listen in on some of our conversations. In this first episode of the series, we hear the conversation I had with John Catsimatidis, a successful self-made American businessman who acquired WABC Radio in 2019. Which is a standalone AM radio station in New York City, and Chad Lopez, president, Big Apple Media and WABC Radio.
Well, what a treat for us. Here we grabbed you off the exhibit floor. John, you have this amazing career. You're an incredibly successful businessman that crosses over other industries, and now you've made this investment in a big brand in AM in New York City. First of all, what brought you to radio ownership?
I believe in getting the truth out. And WABC is one of the most powerful stations now on the East Coast. And we have a lot of listeners. And getting the truth out and letting people understand what's going on in our city, our state, our country, and the East Coast, and it is very important. And we joke around a lot. We have a lot of humor, but we tell the truth. And, I mean, we even talk about we stand for truth, justice, and the American way, just like Clark Kent.
He's not wearing a cape, by the way.
And we're calling from the Daily Planet building. But all jokes around. People like a little bit of humor. But in the real sense of things, we do tell the truth. And my orders to every single one of our hosts are, you better tell the truth. I once fired a guy for only one reason. He didn't tell the truth, and he twisted around the truth. And I don't go for that crap.
Right. So you truly are live and local. You know, a lot of people talk about it, but you're walking the walk. Big time.
John, if I could just jump in one second.
Please.
John bought the station, and the first order was to take off all the weekend programming that was block programming.
So that was paid programming.
Yes, paid programming. And I can give the number, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
No problem. It was $2.7 million.
It's a lot of money to walk away from.
Yes, and you can imagine my VP of sales, myself, saying, John, are you sure we're going to do this? And he said, absolutely. He goes, you know, John will say this is a hobby for him.
We got rid of all the lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, all the con artists that were just, they were on WABC, the most powerful radio station, to con people. Yeah. And I don't believe in that.
Right.
So we threw them off, and now we have real people. We're live almost 24/7. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep. You tune in WABC, and there's somebody to talk to.
Right. You know, we're hearing so much about AM right now, and is AM disappearing? And yet you guys, you keep...
Electric vehicles may disappear first. You never know.
But it's not only paying off financially, it's paying off with the listeners in New York City. Your numbers keep growing.
Yes. Yes, we're really happy with the... Like John said, when we were talking about the weekend, when we went live and local, we just watched the audience grow. And that transcended right through the week for us because we had great programming. We have the number one morning show now, Persons 12 Plus, which is amazing.
Wow.
Out in New York City.
And John, you have a show.
I have a show. I run 7 or 8 companies during the day, but at 5 o'clock, I go down and do the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock radio show, which I enjoy. And I also, on Fridays, I get to tape 2 hours for Sunday. And I wrote a new book in my spare time. And it's, I don't even remember what the book is called.
You don't remember the title?
How Far Do You Want to Go?
Okay.
And you know why? I wanted to write it before I got
Alzheimer's. It's available now?
Oh. It's available now. Before I forgot everything, before I get Alzheimer's, get it. And I wanted my kids and families to know about it. And you know what a lot of people are doing? The book is so successful. It made the Wall Street Journal top 10 list. The book is so successful, people are buying it. You ready? Sitting down? They're buying it for their kids and grandkids to read.
Wow.
All right, and so you say when you get through the book, you'll make $1 billion, right? So if you buy two books.
Okay, wait.
If you buy two books, you can make $2 billion.
I may have to stop this podcast and go out and buy the book right now. That's fantastic.
You know what, Eric, it's true, though. John will say he's got this rule. A meeting shouldn't go more than 15 minutes, right, John?
Yes.
So we make decisions, we make them quick. We're doing radio the way radio was intended to be.
But what you said is so interesting, because you make decisions. And
quickly.
A lot of people don't do that. They talk about it and talk about it.
Growing up, you know how old I am? I'm old. You know how old I am?
No, we the O word. We like seasoned.
I grew up admiring Walter Cronkite.
Sure.
92% of the American people loved Walter Cronkite.
And trusted
him. You know how many people trust our current people? Nobody trusts them. And I want to get back to the days where Democrats, Republicans, they all work together.
Right.
And not, you know, you can argue during the day. Bill Clinton is a good friend of mine. Newt Gingrich is a good friend of mine. They didn't like each other, but they worked together as Americans to do the right thing for the country.
Well, we don't seem to be getting anything done right now.
We're not getting anything done right now. We're hurting our country. And, you know, I had a U.S. senator in my office a couple days ago, and you know what the discussion was? I'm worried about our country not making it to 2076, the 300th year anniversary of our country, and he's worried about the same thing.
Wow.
And right now, look what happened in Venezuela, one of the top 5 countries in the world, one of the number one in South America. In 20 years, they took it from number one in South America and top 5 in the world, and guess what? In the sewer. They destroyed it. The Venezuelan, and Chad is part Venezuelan. And what did they do to your home country?
It's a mess. It's a mess. And just going back to where, you know, when John bought the station, and you know this, Erica, I mean, it was ranked 28th in the market.
Right.
Right? When he talks about why, you know, telling the truth and everything, the station was, we always joke around, we say the station was so right of right, it was on the right. The only place for us to go was back to the left side, right?
So, well, and I'm going to say for the people that are listening to this that aren't from New York, the call letters are legendary to New Yorkers.
And the first thing I did is hire back Cousin Brucey.
Yes.
He was 86 years old, but I gave him a 30-year contract.
Yeah. Wow.
So you could imagine him giving a 30-year contract and telling me he's walking away from $2.7 million on the weekend. I said, what did I do? It was the best move I made. We're having fun. We're opening up different verticals, and we're just doing it in a different way.
Now, you're also making your programming available to other radio stations.
We have almost 200 other stations syndicated with our programming. We did Joe Piscopo, that does Sinatra, in 1 week. He signed up 9 stations.
Wow. Yeah.
And we were in Nashville Friday night. Tell me about Nashville.
The Sinatra family invited us down because Joe does the Sinatra, Sundays with Sinatra. And they had a grand opening in Nashville for a lounge and bar for Mr. Sinatra. And Joe, they gave him, he's the VP of...
the vice chairman of the board. And and we're considering opening up a new Sinatra club in New York. Not for money, for fun.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
That's right. It's great.
It's so exciting.
It is.
So how's business?
We're happy, we're growing, we worry about our country. We worry about our city, we worry about our state. We're great, and...
So would it, because we don't want to lose money, but would it be fair to say that you're more mission-based first and the revenue comes?
Mission-based first, make it number one. More, and number two, when you're number one, guess what? The money comes in.
Yeah.
We one of the other things that we've done is our time spent listening. We have a 10-hour time spent listening on the station.
Wait.
10 hours. Looking at the last.
That sounds impossible.
You know what? People complain. Come over to complain to me, John. I can't shut the radio off. I can't stop listening.
Right.
Love the passion you show about this. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
And this is John. Every day, all day. He loves the station and anything he does with the rest of his companies. He runs several other companies and he does it all at once.
So you lost the $2.7 million on the paid programming. Where are you growing in a revenue standpoint? You know, we spend so much time at the REB working with sellers on specific product categories. And are you seeing certain industries working closer with you?
It depends on the industry. There are certain, since we do music radio, we do financial radio on Saturday mornings. We got Larry Kudlow and Steve Moore. We do talk shows during the week. So it depends on the passion of the individual advertiser. And Cindy Adams, and she's not 100 yet. She's a little short of 100. But she's got all her mind.
I didn't realize she was on your station.
She's on our station, too. You know what it is? The advertisers can pick and choose where they want to advertise. Some of them just want to advertise on music radio.
And that's really a different way also, because we're used to, as sellers, trying to use all the inventory, and yet you're focused on almost a time period, a specific show.
Yes, and we're focused on the product. That's what John said. Let's get the product in place first.
Right.
And the money will follow. So it's not so much the money, it's more about the product and making sure we're delivering a great product.
And what we plan to do is increase our outreach, buy a lot of stations in the area.
So you're growing.
Well, we're going to grow it in the area. We want our signal to be good in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, grow it out. And if we buy another big company that's going to be separate from WABC, WABC is going to operate on its own. The other company, if we buy one, it'll be operating on its own.
So you're definitely in a growth mode.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Yes.
We're just having fun.
Well,
thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
God bless.
Great. Thank you, John.
When you're in New York, we buy lunch.
Done. Continued great success.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, I love his enthusiasm. And, you know, I know a lot about your background, and this is a real change for you, I'm sure. Yes. Have you ever worked for anyone like John?
No. And that's a good and a bad thing. It has a lot more positives. And I wouldn't say any minuses, but the difference is, and I think you touched on it, was we can make a decision that quick. Literally, I can go up to John, and he'll say, "You think so? You think it makes sense?
Right.
Go do it." And I can see it play out in the street the next day, and if it's working, we add to it, and we make it better, we fine-tune it, and that's what we do every day. When I said we're doing radio the way radio was intended to be, our spot loads, we've taken them down. We've cut them down. John, like he said, on the weekends, at $2.7 million, we don't want it. Let's get the right programming in. When you see the audience come in, and that's why our time spent listening has gone up. And, you know, the less is more. We are actually doing the less is more the way it was intended to be done.
Right.
Not cutting it up and adding more spots in less inventory.
Well, so. And in a sense, the way you're positioning your content, you can really charge a premium for that.
Yes. Yes, we can charge a premium. The relationships that we have and that John has and the access he has to, from politicians to celebrities to anything.
I bet there isn't a door that's closed.
There's no door that's closed. We can literally be sitting. I can be sitting in my office, the talent. They'll come in and we'll have the likes of Vice President Pence to Governor Hochul all in the same day, which is, it's incredible what goes on. So you've asked, you know, like, what's going on with the station? We're definitely a radio station,
right.
But we're not a traditional radio station.
Right.
For us, John, myself, and you know, and everyone that works there, anytime we want the talent to sit in front of that mic. Once they crack that mic, I want the video camera on them. I want the social media team on them. I want the mic, the radio station, the controllers to make sure it's getting out on time.
Right.
Clock integrity. We went back to our clock integrity to make sure we're hitting the clocks at the right time. And that's what's made a big difference for us, just in the ratings, right? We also have other forms of measurement. We look at our streams. Our streams is really important to us. We can tell you who's an A guest, who you might think is an A guest, is really a C guest, or a C guest that's an A guest, and we'll bring that C guest back all the time, and we'll watch the streams come in. We'll use our social media to promote it. I always say, and John and I joke about this, we want when a listener comes into the station, whether we get them on social media, in our site, or they're listening on the station or on the stream,
right,
we want it to be like IKEA. You come in, there's only one direction you have to go through, and you're like, how do I get out of here all the way till the end? So they might end up in our podcast network that we opened up, or our syndication network, or our site, or just listening to the radio station or streaming it.
Tell me how your sales staff is structured.
We have a VP of sales and a general sales manager, and it's really structured on not so much category selling, but more idea selling.
I see.
And sitting down, because each show is very different. We sit with the talent a lot. A lot of our talent, they know at the end of the show, they'll sit with us and then they'll go through, and we have a representative from sales and they're saying, this is who we're meeting with, or this is, you know, and it, could we do something like this? How does that fit into
So it's very what we're doing? Collaborative.
Yes, very collaborative.
That's fantastic.
And it makes a great environment for us, Erica, because they feel like they're involved in the process too with the talent.
You know, when I started in the business, you'd walk into a radio station and there were a lot of people.
Right.
It's not the case anymore. And then COVID hit and everyone went home. And so some stations are in a hybrid model, some aren't.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Are you 100%
If I could only tell
in?
You really what's going on. We were 100% the day after. John, they bought the station on March 20th, right?
Oh,
March
20th. Of 2020?
Of 2020.
Oh.
March 1st, sorry. March 1st of 2020. The very next day, COVID hits, everyone's out. We were 7 days a week. And so we were 100%. Our staff, the sales staff and everyone, they were home.
Right.
But it was about 3 months later than they were in. And they've been Monday through Friday since.
So everybody's 100% in.
Yes. We were building a station. We actually moved out of 2 Penn Plaza. Right. And so we're over on the east side now.
Wow.
And we built the station during COVID. And so the staff came back and we were doing it. And John, because of his access, he tested everyone every day, you know, so they came in and before we were tested and we waited to get the results and then they started working. So the support, when you're working with someone like John, and it's a family. And as a family, we get together, and so it's very different than working in a corporation. You know where you stand. You're not second guessing, is this, how do they feel, what's going on, what are they, it's, they'll let you know.
Well, and you know what, when you don't have to worry about that, you can actually get your job done.
It does. It makes a difference, doesn't it?
And I bet and you sleep
good.
At night.
Yes, sleep at night. But John also gets up at 3:30 in the morning, too. So he might get the occasional 3:30 text. Our general counsel over there, Emily Pankos, she knows it. We all get it.
I see some head shaking over there like, yep, that's true.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. But it's been a great experience.
Wow.
And the way we're doing radio now, again, like I said, is just incredible.
Well, and for you, a New Yorker...
Yeah.
Being at the helm of this, it's got to be so exciting for you.
It really is. Every day, you know, I always say, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right? And I think everyone that's there with us at the company now, they love what they do, and it doesn't feel like work. Literally, as John said, we could end up in, you know, that going to Nashville, that was decided on Thursday night. The next day, we're in Nashville with everyone, and we're, you know, down with Frank Sinatra and Joe Piscopo. I'm sorry, the Frank Sinatra family and Joe Piscopo and John.
I love that.
And we came back, and then we're out here. It's been great.
You know, my other half is a retired bebop jazz piano player.
Oh.
And he used to play for Sinatra on the European tours.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, we have to have him come on with Joe. We definitely need him to come on with Joe.
That.
Oh, absolutely.
He would love that.
Let's get him on with Joe. Joe loves that.
So, Chad, from your vantage point, you know, just thinking about the business in general, you know, there's been so much disruption and so much change. But is there one thing that you think about on the horizon, if you were in charge of the whole industry, that we should be focused on to really help grow this industry?
Yes. You know, radio, TV, just any medium right now, I think it's just content, great content, right? We always say content is king, but really, do we really believe content is king? And I think like I said, when a talent cracks that mic, you're looking for that magic moment. If you could take that magic moment and apply the science, we call it the science, on how social media, how's it responding in social media, how's it responding in streams, ratings, all, and you put all those analytics together, the science, and then you amplify it across all of the distribution channels
right. The
way they want it, when they want it, and how they want it. The choice, it's choice and control. There was so much choice before. I'm sorry, less choice, more control from the media outlet, right?
Right.
It's the reverse now. There's more control in the consumer of the media, less control in the media outlet.
Yeah.
So it's, and I think that's what we need to do, is focus on great content, how it's being consumed, and delivering it. What we did with WABC, and I think every station should look at it that way, or just any other media outlet, is focus on what your listener wants, when they want it, and then have, instead of screaming, and listen to both sides and tell the truth. That's what John's whole thing is tell the truth. You may not like it.
Right.
Right? We had Governor Cuomo on the station, on WABC.
You wouldn't have expected that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think our audience appreciated it.
Yes.
They heard it. Some would tell you how much they didn't appreciate it, but they were still listening. And it makes the station seem like it's a real station. It doesn't matter who. We'll bring the right person in to have a conversation with them.
Well, we could have a political discussion for hours.
Oh, absolutely, we won't.
No, and we won't. But as you say,
yeah.
To be civil and have conversations, what a concept. And we need it now more than ever.
Yes, yes. And you know what, Erica, one of the other things that I attribute the success of WABC to, when John bought the station, he wanted to give New York City a station that everybody can relate to. All the different ethnicities in New York City, a station that would mirror New York City. And he started recognizing every ethnicity. I don't know if you hear it sometimes. We have Columbus Day, Greek Independence Day, Israeli, Lunar New Year. We celebrate all the different ethnicities. And that really did well for us because it brought in all these different listeners and groups.
Right.
There's a lot of days that we're celebrating that you wouldn't typically think that WABC would recognize.
Right.
But in these groups are members and communities that are members of those communities that have helped their community and made significant differences in those communities. And we want to talk about that because we want everybody to know what they're doing.
You're giving everybody a voice.
Yes. And we just watched our audience grow from that. And I think they appreciate it.
Oh, that's great.
New Yorkers appreciated it.
So I'd just like you to finish the sentence. Radio matters because?
Radio matters because it's really important to, it's theater of mind, right? So when you're telling a story, I always think about the listener, and they could think that we're wearing something different or who we are, what we look like, and it's in their mind. But when you're doing it, radio matters because of that theater of mind, and it's active listening. And whatever you're telling them, they hear it. They take it in the way they want to take it in, and they'll make a decision on what they want to do. So I think radio is one of those mediums that really makes you feel one-on-one with the listener.
And radio works because?
Because active listening. If you're actively listening to radio, I believe it's the best response because you have that relationship, right, with the listener. So if they believe you and they know that you're going to tell the truth, it'll work. It'll work great for advertisers, for ROI. It works great for just even communities and getting the right message out and letting people know what's going on in their community.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know how busy you are, and what a treat to have John join us today. That was an unexpected pleasure.
That's John.
And I love the energy. I love the energy and continued great success.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Erica, for everything you're doing for us to help us in the industry.
It's our
pleasure.
All right.
With all the news we're hearing these days regarding the possible elimination of AM radios in automobiles, as they're claiming they're changing with the times, the timing of this podcast just couldn't be better. As we just heard, AM radio is alive, well, and even growing in New York City. With passion and a laser focus on telling the truth, WABC is connecting with listeners with live programming almost 24/7.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.